So from the ages of 8 to 20, I had more responsibility than most kids because I had to, you know, it was my dad and I, because my older sister had gone away to college and moved on and got married. And so, you know, I was, you know, in a position where my dad and I were kind of taking care of my mom until we couldn't. And so like there would be evenings, like my mom would show up to my basketball games with an oxygen tank, and, you know, it just, life was what it was. And then, you know, after my mom passed a couple years later, but little about a year and a half later, my sister, my oldest sister, who was 13 years older than me, committed suicide.
It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost known, and I told y'all so. When I throw these flows, like it's Rochambeau. And I ain't too close, it's Joe Schmo goes. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that, a little more cash than I came with. Ready, that cat is out that bag, but I still ask you, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him, I don't need help with me, I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps, and I can do both, even do this, word.
This episode is brought to you by Anthracite Pallet Solutions. Need reliable, durable pallets to keep your business moving? At Anthracite Pallet Solutions, we specialize in new and used 48x40 wooden pallets. Whether you're shipping, storing, or stacking, we offer high-quality pallets that keep your operations running smoothly. With our own fleet of trucks and trailers, we deliver on time, every time. And if warehouse space is a concern, our drop trailer services have you covered. From custom orders to large-scale deliveries, we're here to meet your every need with top-notch customer service and unbeatable prices. We're currently shipping within 2 hours of Scranton, Pennsylvania, including Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey, and Maryland. Call us today at 570-606-9206 or inquire online at anthracitepallet.com and let us handle your pallet solutions. Anthracite Pallet Solutions, built to last. Designed to move. This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit SweatTent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's SweatTent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On The Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game. It's always great having on another podcaster on the show because, you know, you get it. I get it. It makes things a lot easier. I told you before we came on, I said, I just missed you by about a year. I was, we came down to Nashville about a year ago. So, I don't know if maybe we cross paths at some point.
You know, and like, as I said, you looked familiar to me. I think I know why. You're just that one guy that just wouldn't leave me alone. I'm kidding.
Yeah. I'm very identifiable too, because I always wear the same black backwards hat, the same black shirt. So if you saw a guy.
So basically, you're like a cartoon character.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
I don't change.
Wear the same thing all the time.
Yeah. It's easy.
You know,
yeah.
Fred Flintstone, he wore the same outfit all the time. No one ever talked about
that. Nobody ever. Why didn't anybody ever question that? By the way.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
And Wilma too. She never
all
did
of
the
them,
laundry.
Right? I think all of them. I mean, I get questioned and made fun of every day. They're like, Bill, like, do you actually own anything other than a black shirt? And I actually tell everybody, like, no, guys, I'm sorry, I don't. And it's actually the same one. I wear the same one all 7 days. So By the seventh day, it's pretty worn out.
It's sticky.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
No, but Nashville's great. I mean, so you I'm guessing you went down to Broadway and did all that.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we did a little bit of it all.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you that, you know, being a resident here, and I've been here since '96, and I came out here to pursue music, but as a musician, I've played downtown, but when I moved here, Broadway, it wasn't what it is now, of course, because we've just grown so much, mm-hmm. but Second Avenue is where kind of everything was happening, and Broadway was just sort of, they had some honky-tonks, but, you know, I mean, some originals like Tootsie's and all that, they were there, but it wasn't something that we really did a whole lot of. Now people would come visit and all that, but it was, it's changed dramatically. So yeah. It's been a really, fun ride. Cause like I said, been here since '96, watching the city grow up, kind of growing up with it. Cause I moved here when I was 25. So.
And you moved there for music?
I did move here for music. I did. So, backstory real quick is that, so when I was in California, I'm from a town called Visalia, which is a central California. And I went to, I was going to Fresno State, and which is the Harvard of Central California, of course. And I was in an incredible band, and the band was, we opened up for a lot of great artists, Toby Keith, John Michael Montgomery, Pam Tillis, Patti Loveless, Trisha Yearwood. I mean, just a bunch, right? Yeah. And we had some really great success. I made a lot of connections in Nashville. So, and everyone in our band, in my band, was like 10 years older than me, except for the bass player, which is a fun story. I'll get to him later. And he was younger, but he lived across the street in our town. There weren't a lot of great bass players, and this kid was incredible at the age of 16. So
Wow. We
brought him on. It was really great. But that being said, so I'm in California playing country. I move out to Nashville. And I start playing rock, and I join a rock and roll band. So I did everything backwards. It's kind of the way my life is anyway. So, but when I moved, I decided I'm not going to be a starving artist. I'm just not going to do it. So I was a college athlete, and I had my personal training certification at the time. So I thought, I'm going to start my personal training business. So from there, I was lucky enough to develop a waiting list within 8 months.
Wow.
So I've started to put together a team. And so I was training NFL athletes. The Oilers had just moved from Houston to Tennessee.
Oh, that's right.
And then
yeah.
They became the Titans and all that. So I was there during that process and got to know some of the guys and had opportunity to work with a lot of them that when we went to the Super Bowl. It was really, an incredible experience. But a lot, you know, celebrities and all the others that we were training. But my goal was to be able to make money at home while I was pursuing music on the road. And I was able to accomplish that. And so that's really where my entrepreneurship started. And during that process, like I really learned, I was the guy that booked all the gigs. I reached out to all the record labels. And I just kind of learned how to deal with rejection, turn it into a positive thing, how to pivot when needed. Something I really like to share about when I realized that you start trying to get gigs is in this town wasn't easy, especially as a rock band, because there weren't that many rock clubs, but they'd get really good bands that would come through and play there. And I went to them, and you know, everybody else would give a CD or a tape, and you know, kids, they don't know what tapes are these
right.
days.
Yeah.
However, and they'd say, hey, listen to how good we are. And that's kind of what their approach would be. I would say, here, hey, we sound really good. We'll do a good job with the audience. However, our people drink money. That's all they want.
Yeah.
They want the money.
Yep.
That guy's job is to make the club money. So I had to prove it. So I called everybody, drink, make sure you drink, make sure you drink. Well, they did. And we promoted it while we were there, to make sure they tip the bartender, you know, grab a drink, blah, 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 and do all that. So they appreciated that. And we, next thing you know, we're headlining there. So it just really kind of worked out. And that, you know, I had minor success in music. I wrote songs for film and television. That band ended up getting a big record deal that took 5 years to get, lost it in 3 months. So after getting my heart smashed a few times in music, I just decided I'm done. I had an opportunity with my fitness, with personal training, to get into health club ownership. So I was able to do that. And I bought them out in 5 years, grew that, rebuilt that club because it was dying on the membership side, became Nashville's best health club like 12 years in a row.
Wow.
So So we were at, in a strip mall kind of facility, and then we grew that. Then we end up full circle. The first health club that I ever had a job in was a thriving tennis club in 96. Come back around in 2012, was a dying tennis club. So, and it was sat on 11 acres. It's 85,000 square feet. The back 6 acres used to be really great clay courts. Well, they weren't anymore. They were falling down fences and weeds. And so we saw value to that land. And it's in a really, really, really prominent part of town, sort of the Beverly Hills of Nashville. It's called Belmead. And we went to the neighbors, because a lot of owners, previous owners of that club, tried to build something behind there, and they couldn't. They couldn't get it rezoned. It took 5 years. We got it rezoned, able to build 54 townhouses. And that's when I said, I'm going to get my real estate license. Now, I've been investing in real estate, through the years, but that's when I got my real estate license. And there were 54. I was brand new. So the developer only gave me 6 and gave, someone that's been much more experienced than me, the rest. Well, I sold my 6 out like that. I started developing, the word was out what I was doing. I had no intention to make this full time, and ended up growing to where I did 2 million to 4 million to 9 million to 14 million to 45 million. And then, now I've got a team of 11 on my real estate team. So it's been really kind of grown into that. And so I'm no longer in the operation side of the health club. And, it's just kind of been a fun journey to get here.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's that is a hell of a journey. And I'm curious. So you said you played sports in college. You were a D1 athlete. What was your sport?
So I was a basketball player, 5'10" and white, and played tennis. But to preface that, I played in junior college and then transferred to Fresno State for the last 2 years.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So I always find it like very, it's, there's always a correlation, I feel like, between, high performing individuals, right. That excel, in the entrepreneurial space. And I often find that, they're usually, a lot of them are former athletes, because, mm-hmm. You were performing at a very high level, obviously at a young age as an athlete. And I'm sure a lot of that discipline and hard work and everything that you learned, as a young kid, probably, coming up, through high school and then college, it's obviously, served you well. And like I said, I see it a lot, that it carries through into people's lives and careers. And it sort of just, even though, I'm sure you probably, are still active, but obviously you don't compete like you used to, but you just compete differently in a different space, but still at such a high level.
So man, I'm so glad you brought that up, because my health club, we do NFL combine training. And a lot of times I would talk to the guys about that, because there's going to be life after football, right? Or life after sports. And it's a hard transition. It's tough to go from, because that's your identity. It's who you are, a big man on campus, whatever. And then you're not.
Yeah. Right.
Quickly.
Overnight.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. So what happens is that what I try and instill them, because I saw that in myself, is that, and here's the thing. Again, I was the shortest guy on the court. I was the lightest guy on the court, but I had to figure out ways to, I had to work harder than everybody else. So I had this determination and drive to get to, I thought I was going to be the next point guard at Duke. I just wasn't good enough. It's just where I thought, but I worked hard to try and get there. And so I took that discipline, as you said, that hard work, and I just changed it into, because from education standpoint, I got through, I was smart enough to get through. But from this drive to, and then I took that competitive spirit and turned it into the music world. Right. And then kind of it continued to grow, but there's a huge correlation. And then also understanding that, when you're a part of something that's bigger than you, like a team, to be a great team player, right. I was usually the captain of my teams. I kind of had that leadership ability, but not always, but most of the time I was. And that's why I love having a team. And honestly, my real estate team is called Nashville Home. And we're based out of a brokerage out here called Benchmark. And, I didn't want to name it the John Sexton team, which a lot of team leads do, right? But to me, here's the thing. If you were an agent and you said, hey, this is Bill from the John Sexton team, that just made you secondary, right? I wanted you to feel like you're I want you to be front and center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So taking that idea and moving that forward, and even team leads will take the volume. So if you sell a $2 million house, on most teams, guess who gets credit for that? The team lead does.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I give it to you because I want you to be celebrated. And you know, we have our financial deal together, and that's, but I want you to be celebrated. And here's the thing. So in one part of my life, I lived in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So I'm a Cowboys, Maverick, and Ranger fan. I'm actually a huge Mavericks fan. I even named my middle son Maverick after the Dallas Mavericks, not Top Gun, just for the record. But so I'm a big Texas Rangers fan. And so therefore, you know, we did win the World Series last year, which I went to the one game. Again, game two, the only game they lost. I'm like, oh, you're kidding. So, but where I'm going with this, is that all-star year, that all-star game, for the first time ever, had six starting Texas Rangers for the all-star game. You knew, looking at that list, oh my gosh, the Rangers are good. Yeah. If you didn't pay attention to baseball, you knew the Texas Rangers were good, right?
Yep.
Same thing. That's the concept I want. So in the fourth quarter last year, we had four people in the top 20. What's that say about our team?
You got a good team. Yeah.
That's all I want. That's what I want. Right now, I'm usually at the top, but I'd be happy to get the bottom. And my goal is to get out of production for real estate and to help mentor and grow this team and make them the very, very best that they can and give them as much support as they can.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Yeah. I think that's great. It's, I don't think that's, it's not very common. I mean, at least up, you know, our way here in Pennsylvania, you know, to have, you know, the, like, just like you said, how you didn't name your team after your name. Cause I mean, I'm not in real estate, but I know a lot of people that are, and, it is very common that they name it after themselves. And, you know, so kudos to you. I mean, I think it just says a lot about you and your character. And, you know, like, again, building that team, you know, it makes every person feel like they are like number one, you know, even if they're not like when they're able to, I think it gives them like such a confidence boost. And again, just, it makes that inclusivity, you know, as part of that team, like they don't feel like they're always, you know, the second behind, you know? So that's interesting. I've never heard anyone ever, you know, have that approach, which is, which that's cool. That is really cool that you did it that way.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So you have this entrepreneurial spirit, you know, obviously, you know, from everything you've done, you know, the real estate, the health clubs, like, you know, what really keeps you motivated? You know, what is it for you that keeps you constantly building? It seems like, you know, you master one thing and, you know, you master another thing, and it seems like you've done it multiple times over in various industries. So I'm curious, you know, kind of like your mindset and, you know, how you operate and what are the things that keep you going?
Well, I think it's putting the right people around me. Number one is what's allowed me to do that and understanding that. And I think my motivating factor is that I've got three boys. I'm a single dad, and I am just, you know, I could have done a better job, you know, because I've gone through, you know, divorces. So no marital advice here.
You got none?
But you know, I feel like, to me, I want to show them the best way to kind of live in regards to kind of having balance in life. And I'm kind of, When I look at them, I just want to be the best for them, honestly. And having the people around me, the right people around me, is motivating, because I really do, really do. I'm in it for everybody else. I do, you know, get a part of the success, but it's because of, you know, I really care for the people I bring on, and the people that I bring onto my team, most of them are newbies, and I love that. And I just want a good person. And that person will help them become really good at their craft.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, it just, I love watching other people's success, and making sure that my boys are seeing that, how you treat people well, and you have respect for people. So, I think that's the main thing there. And I'm going to tell you that during, you know, through my years of running businesses and being, you know, a leader and being responsible for other people's livelihood. You know, it's, there's a lot of, there, you can put a lot of pressure on it, but I take a lot of pride in it. And, but one thing that I have to recommend for those that watch your show that are trying, that are leaders or maybe trying to figure out how to be a better one. There's a book called, Rocket Fuel. And Rocket Fuel is, talks really kind of about two type of leaders. There's one that is the visionary, the person that sees it, knows all the tools and, you know, can just knows how to get there, but is not very good at implementing. That's me, just for the record. That's me. Then there's the integrator. The integrator works directly with the visionary and puts everything in place, puts the right people there, puts the right procedures in there and all of that. And so for many years, and I didn't realize it about myself, I just, you know, I try to do it all. And I have always had business partners. I've always liked that approach versus just being, you know, a one-man show. But, you know, I would create really, like in fitness, I create really great programs. And I just couldn't, at my health club, you know, I couldn't get it. I couldn't get some of these programs to really gain any traction. So I just realized that I didn't have my integrator, and I put a lot of pressure on myself and was very frustrated. I was like, so why isn't anybody getting this? How am I failing on this? And that's the reason why I didn't realize I needed an integrator. But now in my business, I have a director of operations that is, he's incredible. And, we work really well together. I've gone through a few, but you know, it's just because, you know, like it wasn't anything that I'm super easy to work with. And it wasn't anything about that. It was just, you know, their life kind of took them other places, which was fine. They grew into something else. But so having someone to integrate these systems and procedures for me, because I know how I want it done, it just makes it a lot easier when leading others. It allows you to do what you're best at.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's where a lot of people struggle or stumble or fall or maybe never get to like that next level or that next part is because, and I'm glad you touched on it a lot there, was, you know, building that team around you. I think that's so important because, you know, like you and I both, you know, have our strengths and weaknesses, and it takes a lot for somebody to you know, admit and acknowledge their weaknesses, and instead of either just struggling and ignoring them or just trying to still keep doing that part, even though you're not good at it. And you say, hey, you know what? Yep. I'm just not good at it. Why don't I just hire somebody and let them do that? Like, that's what they're best at. That's what they're good at. And, once you do that, you'll, but for people listening, like you'll really, that's, you know, back to that, but I mean, I've never read the book, The Rocket Fuel. I'm going to check it out, but it makes sense. Now then you'll take off, you know, once you kind of fill those gaps, fill those voids, you know, and identify those people and say like, hey, you know what, this part of the business isn't my thing, but hey, if you bring somebody on, like then great. And I would say too, like there's a lot of people in the world, especially I'll say like maybe even in the artist world, artists, like it could be talking about music. We could be talking about like painting, like that type of art, whatever it is. And I've had some friends and some acquaintances over the years that have said like, yeah, hey, like I'm really good at art, like, and like I want to sell, but like I don't know how and this and that. And it's like, well, hey, like it sounds like that's not your strong point, but find somebody that is good at that, like, and then you can then just focus on doing what you're best at, which is creating the art. But and all you're missing is, you know, somebody like me or you, for example, right, that can take like the business side and just really nurture and develop and build something alongside that artist. And I think that's where a lot of people just they miss the point. You know, a lot of, you know, artists, again, whichever, you know, part of art that you're in, like they just get so caught up in thinking like, oh, well, I'm doing good work, like why isn't anybody paying attention? And, you know, again, I think a lot of times you're kind of missing the other piece of it. And again, I think there's no shame in you know, somebody just like you said, like, hey, I realized that early on, and I hired somebody that can fill that void, and boom.
No doubt. And I also have coaching too. Like here's the thing, you know, you watch the Olympics and you see these amazing athletes and they're the best in the world. Well, they have a coach, right? And same thing in business, same thing in life, whatever sort of where you are, it's good to have that accountability, the leadership, all of that. So the coaching program I use is called Eisenhower Coaching and Training. And funny enough is Brian Eisenhower, who founded the company, he was like one of the head coaches for Keller Williams, and just he's been doing it forever. And now he's got one of the largest coaching programs. He and I were best friends in eighth grade or in junior high. Yeah. And just life kind of, you know, took us different directions. But when I got into real estate, I really started paying attention to what he was doing. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's done such a great job. I'm going to call him and talk to him about his coaching program. And what I found out is that they don't coach you how to have a great open house. They coach you how to be a great leader, and they coach you on how to have a great business. And so I was like, because here's the thing, I have made so many mistakes in my entrepreneur's life and as a club owner. I mean, I've made so many costly mistakes, and I'm like, I'm not doing it this time. I need somebody to guide me because I didn't really have a mentor. I kind of figured out later on, I got a mentor in the fitness world. I got some partners and incredible mentor. He's, you know, in banking and has done, owned and sold a lot of businesses. So I really, really, really appreciative of him. But early on, I didn't have any. The guy I bought the club from, I really learned more what not to do than what to do. So having that, I was like, I'm not making that mistake. It's been very fruitful for me. And it's an investment. I've even actually hired them to now train my team.
Wow.
So to have that accountability, they have a coach that they go to, and we have broken up in two different tiers. Mm-hmm. Those are a little more experienced than those that aren't. And it's been really great, and it's going to help take them to the next level. So they're learning things from him, my coach, that I've learned or haven't learned, and they're getting a lot out of it. So I'm just trying to create as much value as I can for them to help them grow.
Mm-hmm. How have you, you know, so I mean, you know, one thing I've noticed, it seems like you're really good at reinventing yourself. And I think that's so important nowadays, you know, because, and even on the personal branding side, which also you have and you're good at as well, is I think a lot of people kind of go through life and don't really think about those things and or are just afraid and just don't think like, oh, like maybe, you know, again, maybe somebody is thinking to themselves that they're working a 9-to-5 job doing whatever, and maybe they have aspirations to be a realtor, you know, or mm-hmm. get into, you know, the fitness world or something, but they're like, but I'm not like, sure. I'm not the fitness person, or I'm not the realtor like type person. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so I think a lot of people are afraid to, you know, dive into something totally new. I mean, what was it like for you, and how did you kind of, you know, like what was your approach as you, you know, over the years, as you've kind of gotten into different industries, like, again, not really knowing much about it and just saying like, hey, I'm going to do this now. I'm going to try this in this industry. And you've excelled in multiple industries. Like, what was your attitude mm-hmm. and mindset around that?
Well, you know, I'm going to say something. I'm sounding like I'm a really big reader. I'm not at all. But there's a book called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, I think is how you say his last name. And it's all about just being, right? Not giving yourself a label. So if I would have said to myself, hey, I'm a personal trainer, guess what? I probably would never have been a health club owner. Right. I probably would not have really been an entrepreneur, right? And all of that. So I do my best to kind of state just who I am and sort of allow life to sort of, I mean, you know, there's structure. It has to be structured. I'm not a, you know, kind of a hippie minded person at all. However, but I do allow kind of life, and I have a great relationship with God and trust the way that it goes. And there's, you know, when things are tough and challenging, you know, I thank him for that, because, you know, I know I'm growing, I'm getting some out of this. I'm going to come out stronger. So, for reinventing, you know, myself, if you will, it just really comes down to, just kind of saying who I am, as a core person, and just maybe my content would be directed towards the industry that I'm in. But it's just staying true to who I am. And, you know, I have a good, very good following on Instagram, but I also sneak over to TikTok, and I don't have a big following there, which I'm not going for. Instagram, I kind of have got my branding and a lot there, mm-hmm. but TikTok, I'll get on there and I'll play the piano live and just talk to people. I just started that, and I've got, like, you know, you have 7,000, 9,000 views all of a sudden, and people just, they watch, they pay attention, because I don't know if you've ever been on TikTok. I'm not a big TikToker,
a little bit here and there.
Scrolled and realized people are being rated for what they look like. They're being, you know, card readers. I mean, all these things that are just so pretentious and fake.
Yeah.
And I just want to get on there and be real. Like last night, yourself. I was just goofing around on the piano, and people started opening up because we were talking about losing people. I lost my mom at a young age. I lost my sister right after that, my oldest one.
Wow.
And so we talked, and we just opened up, and it was just really incredible to have real, I don't know, real conversations with people that you'll never probably meet in person. But it's just fun that that's sort of a different, like that's a little bit more of my music life. I don't really post a lot of pictures and stuff. There's some, a lot of real estate stuff on there, and there, you know, but you know, I really focus on Instagram but TikTok's just for that, those live things. It's been fun.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low-impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn.
We drive the same roads you drive. We face the same danger you face. When you're involved in a car or a truck crash, it's personal. Because we live here and raise our families here. We're invested here.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. And now we're back on the Stacks.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. What was you just touched on a little bit there, but what was how has losing you said you lost your mother, a sister, and was there a third?
Yeah, so interesting enough. Well, yeah, I've lost a lot, unfortunately, a lot. Grandparents and things of that
sure,
nature, and
yeah.
Really great friends.
But losing your mom at such a young age, and then a sibling or two. Did I maybe hear you say?
I lost a sister, one sister.
Okay.
Yeah, I do have one that's she lives in Dallas, and we have a really great relationship. My dad is still alive, lives an hour and a half away from me. He's 88. So, when I was eight, my mother was diagnosed with emphysema, and she was a smoker growing up, and so that took its toll. And here's what's ironic: my mother, her two brothers, and her dad all died of emphysema. Now, really, you don't die of emphysema; you die of heart failure.
Sure,
but. Still, they all had it.
Wow.
So from the ages of 8 to 20, I had more responsibility than most kids because I had to, it was my dad and I because my older sister had gone away to college and moved on and got married. She's 5 years older than me. And so, I was, in a position where my dad and I were kind of taking care of my mom until we couldn't. And so, there would be evenings, my mom would show up to my basketball games with an oxygen tank, and, it just life was what it was. And then, you know, after my mom passed, a couple years later, probably a year and a half later, my sister, my oldest sister, who was 13 years older than me, committed suicide. And so my mom was 54 when she passed. I'm 53. So that just blows me away to think of it like that. And that's why I kind of live a very healthier, much healthier lifestyle. I mean, you know, work out all the time and I don't drink much, and I eat clean most of the time, but not always, not obsessive about it. And then,
how has that changed? How happening to you at such a young age? I mean, you know, it's traumatic. I mean, it's a lot to go through. It's a lot that most people don't go through, especially at a young age. I mean, how has that shaped you? You know, as an adult, as an entrepreneur. I mean, just as a dad, everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, lots of empathy. Lots of empathy. I think it's important. Yeah. I mean, you can relate to people a little bit more. And I would have to say that, I'm very appreciative of the relationships I have, and I don't take them for granted. And it puts life in perspective. So something that might stress somebody out, you know, and then you just pull them back and say, look, man,
it's not that bad.
This morning, yeah. It's really not that bad. So that's been able to really help me kind of stay. Most people will tell you that, you know, I'm super immature. I say a lot of bad jokes, and they will tell you that that I'm pretty chill, you know, other than my two ex-wives.
Well, they don't. Yeah, whatever. Their opinions don't count.
Yeah. Speaking of rebranding myself. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but yeah, that's it. I think empathy is a big thing, you know. I think you know, for people, I've gone through, you know, a lot of adversity, I'll say, myself over the last couple of years. And I think, not that I didn't have empathy before, because I always have. And, I credit my mom for that. Shout out to my mom. She's my biggest fan. She watches every episode. So,
Hey mom.
Yes. Hi mom. Hi Sue. But yeah, I, you know, growing up, I mean, just, you know, watching, you know, seeing my mom has just always been a very empathetic person. But yeah, I think that's so important. I think that's a trait, that, you know, it's very necessary, you know, even in the entrepreneurship world and in business. And I think, you know, up until maybe, you know, I think times are a little bit different now, but, you know, maybe like a few years or several years ago, people, I think, would look at, you know, somebody who's very empathetic as like, as if it's like a weakness, you know, especially like in business or as a leader. Sure. And, you know, like, you know, I'm kind of talking like old days, right? But I think nowadays it's, you need it. And if you don't have it, I mean, you can't really relate to people. And I think if you can't relate to people, especially like everybody or like the average person, I mean, then it's just, you're not going to be able to connect with people like you want to be able to. And I think that having that empathy really is kind of like the baseline for being able to connect with like anyone and everyone. And if you don't have that, I mean, it just, I don't know. I get real fired up when I talk about it, because
I love it.
I'm like empathetic, like almost like too much, but I think because of the things that I've gone through and all that, like I get it, you know. I haven't gone through some of the, you know, similar things to you, but just in general, like when you go through different adversities in life, you gain, you know, you talked about, you know, perspective and just, you know, and again, not that we all just, you know, joke around and goof around, but I'm a big, I like to joke. I like to laugh. I think it's healthy. Yep. It keeps us sane. Right.
Agreed.
But yeah, man, just all that, just, you know, just don't take shit too seriously. You know, obviously there's times where you got to be serious, but like, otherwise, man, like life just like, isn't that bad. It's not that hard. And like, there's so many more people, you know, I also took the show to, our podcast. We went to, I went to Africa this past summer, and, wow. Yeah. And, you know, talk about perspective and eye opening, you know, coming back from that trip and seeing, you know, the families with children there that, literally, there's like just millions and millions of people there that don't even have water. Like, they literally don't have water. And like, you know, you see some of this stuff on TV and you hear some of this stuff, and a lot of it, like, you know, obviously not everybody's ever going to be able to, you know, take a trip to Africa, and that's okay. But like, to actually experience that, like, it's, you know, like I said, you see this stuff maybe in pictures or videos, or, you know, whether it's on TV or whatever it is, but you see it, but it, when you actually like experience it like firsthand, when you're there, It gave me a whole new perspective. Like when I came back from Africa, like anytime I ever hear somebody complain about something, most times the first thing that pops in my mind, it's like, clearly, like you just need to go to Africa. Like you need to go experience, seriously, like you need to go experience what it's like for these people in Africa. There's tens of millions of people that literally have absolutely nothing. And when I say nothing, I mean nothing. If there's something less than nothing, that's what they have. And I'm saying that because I'm not even exaggerating. I'm really trying to like drive that point home, because I think so many people just go through life, you know, with no perspective and it's like,
it's getting worse.
Oh,
it just seems to be getting worse, isn't it? And I mean, lack of empathy is such a big thing.
It is.
And sense of entitlement has just grown.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and we're all guilty of social media and keeping things really short and, you know, and creating an image that maybe isn't real. And it's really sad. In regards to that. Now, I look at life happily in a very happy way. I'm very positive. I get in trouble for trusting people to a fault. Mm. I've been burnt so many times. I'm not changing that.
Yeah.
I'm not changing that on who I am and trusting people. You know, I'm not you know, naive, but I'm just not going to live my life that way.
Yeah.
And it's just too hard. You know, there's too many cynical attitudes out there and non-trusting, and that's just a tough way to live in your head.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, I just continue to praise people and see people in a good light. And, you know, and if you do me wrong, you do me wrong, and you move on.
Yeah, and you know, and as you said, like, you know, obviously, you know, you've been, you know, burned or whatever, you know, a handful of times, or maybe even more. But you know, and same with me, you know, with things, people take advantage of you, you know, because you're a kind, you know, you're a kind person, you know, again, trusting maybe to a fault, but yeah, I in my opinion, I think it's better than the opposite, right? I think it's better than having that the opposite, you know.
Yeah.
But again, like you know. Even though sometimes you have to take those hard knocks, sometimes you have to take those, you know, you get burned, you get to, you know, it's as much as we don't like it, you know, nobody likes it, but sometimes it is just a part of life. And I think there's, you know, obviously, you know, you probably learned a lot from it. I've learned a lot from experiences like that too. But it's kind of then what shapes you and you know, then it prepares you really for like the next journey, the next step. And then you know, going into the next situation, you kind of, you know, you may be a little bit more cautious. You're still just as, you know, trusting, right? But you're just a little more cautious, and you probably know a little bit more now because of it.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's something that we don't like to brag about that we got taken advantage of or this or that. But I'm sure you learned a hell of a lot from some of those experiences. And,
sure.
And,
absolutely.
Yeah. But still being able to keep and have that. Still being able to have that empathy, and because most people in a situation, you know, like that, like with you, like where you maybe been burned, you know, so many times or whatever it was, like it's very easy just to say fuck it and then just throw your hands up and then just become like a miserable person because of it.
Yeah.
That's so much easier.
I agree. And so I'm going to tell you that when I turned 50, I was like, these are my fucking 50s, meaning that I'm just going to be happy. I'm just going to be happy. I'm not going to let the little things kind of get like hang on to me and all of that. Just fuck it. So that's where I've been. And, you know, I've been less concerned about, I don't know, pleasing everybody, you know, and just really kind of not in a selfish way, but it's just, you know, if it's just not, if I don't want to be there, I'm not going to be there. If I don't want to go see this person, I'm not going to go see this person. Right. And, you know, and I'll do it with kind and you know, messaging and whatever, but I just, you know, it's important to, you gotta stay happy. And, you know, I've got responsibility for kids and other people's careers and all that. I'm good with all that. I love all that, but just everything else that doesn't make me happy, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people go through almost their entire life, you know, with that, you know, doing, you know, not being who they really wanted to be, or not trying the thing, or not pursuing this because, you know, they didn't want to, they thought that the whether it was a family member or a friend that just would, you know, they were just too afraid of the opinion of somebody else. And, And I'm
worried about that.
Yeah, like I'm over that shit. You know, like I've been the person, you know, up until not long ago who, again, you know, I was a bit of the people pleaser and always, you know, I used to care, you know, more about what other people thought, and you know, and all it really does is just you're just harming yourself. Like all you're doing is just making it worse for yourself. And you know, once you finally like sort of change your mindset around that, it's like you're reborn, you know, like it's, you know, again, like you're obviously going to offend some people, but who cares, you know, because I think at, you know, at the end of the day, like I had a health scare a few months back and after that health scare, you know, like I reevaluated everything in my life, you know, people, like just everything, like literally everything. And it was one of those things, like, it's like, I'm just done with it. Like, I don't want to, if I don't want to do that, I'm not going to do it. If whatever I'm doing to, you know, now or tomorrow, if it doesn't make me happy, well, screw it. I'm just not going to do it anymore. And, you know, some people be like, well, why not? I'm just like, well, because I don't want to, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, I've been through what I've been through, and I have such a greater appreciation just for life and just everything in general. And, you know, unfortunately, I think sometimes it takes really bad experiences or even near death experiences, which sucks. You know, I'm obviously, obviously grateful I'm still here. But sometimes, and I'm saying this because I hope somebody can learn from it. Like, don't wait until like you almost die to change your life. Don't wait until you have a tragic event, whatever the tragic event is. Like, don't wait for that. Like, too many people just go through life in general, just going through the motions. And sometimes it takes like a really bad tragedy for somebody to like wake up. And
isn't that,
you know,
the truth?
Yeah. And I just want people to know, like, don't wait for that. You know, just make the decision today, or, you know, don't say, oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Just do it now. Just do it now. Yeah. Just, you know, make that decision, you know, and people, you know, again, like there's even like that guilt that comes along with it. Like you feel like a little selfish, like, cause you're, when you finally, and I know you could probably relate, John, like when you finally like say, you know what, just screw everything else, I'm doing this for me, like once and for all. Like it's liberating, man. And
it is, and it helps everyone else around you.
It does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because now you're true to yourself, and it just allows you to be that way all the way around.
Yeah.
And people will appreciate that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I think like if you can't be happy with yourself, then you're not going to be able to just, you, in general, like you're going to go through life miserable, and it's going to show, you know? So if you can't, if you can't be like happy with yourself and comfortable in your own skin and all that, like you're going to have a pretty tough time throughout life, because you're not doing it. You're not doing it for yourself. You just have to really figure yourself out. And And it's never too late to start or restart. And I say all the time, you know, I have, you know, friends and, you know, things, and just people like in their 40s or around 50 that just like, oh, I'm too old. I'm like, too old? Like, you still have half your life ahead. You still got so much time.
Way.
Like, it's like never too late. You know, it's never, you know, and I think people think like changing your mind is like a bad thing. It's actually a strength. And I'm sure you're laughing, like, because, you know, I'm sure, you know, it sounds like you could really relate to a lot of that.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah. So, you know, kind of changing gears a little bit here, but you know, you got the TV show. Like, what's what are you working on?
So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So it's called Selling Nashville. It's off of a show called The American Dream. Mm-hmm. And The American Dream, so basically you watch The American Dream, my episode is called Selling Nashville. And it's all about, it's real estate, lifestyle, culture. And it's nothing about, there's no drama. So it's really fun. So I have a 6-episode deal. I've gotten through 3 of them. I'm working on my 4th. And you know, my last one I just did, going back to, I was talking about the band and the bass player.
Oh yeah, that's right. I almost forgot about that.
He's the bass player for the Zach Brown Band.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was John Mayer's guitar player and just has had a lot of success.
Wow.
He's like a little brother to me. Anyway, so Zach Brown has a studio out here called Selling Ground Nashville. And I did a whole episode on that studio, the culture. And Matt Mangano is his name. He really helped kind of recreate that studio with Zach, because Matt comes from a family of home builders and construction. So he kind of understands all that. And so he managed that process. He managed the building, the business for a while. And then he became the bass player for the Zach Brown Band later on. But so we did a whole episode on on really that. And it was really fun because he and I, you know, again, we're just cutting up. We're having a great time. And then we, at the end, we played together and we just jammed out. And it was a ton of fun. And so learning about the history of the studio, the unique things about the studio, et cetera, is really, really, really cool. And then, you know, and before that, it's just about Nashville high rise living and talk to the kind of the developer that sort of pioneered downtown living. Before that was a really great prominent neighborhood in South Nashville in Williamson County called The Grove that actually my teammates live in there. And so we did an episode on that. So it's a lot of fun working on doing something on Grand Ole Opry. See, because my musical career, I've got a lot of connections. My fitness, I have a lot of connections, right? So I'm kind of utilizing that and being a little bit different. But it's been fun. You can find it on some of the episodes you find on HGTV, but you're going to really find us on streaming stuff like Apple TV and Amazon and CNBC and also Travel Channel.
Nice.
As well. But, you know, YouTube, I post everything on my YouTube, which is JonJohn.Sexton, which is pretty much my user handle for most things, for Instagram, for YouTube, for my TikTok, all of it. It's just that my Facebook got hacked. So I'm hopefully waiting to get that back. Oh. So we'll see what happens there. It's kind of nice that I don't have to worry about that.
You have a nice break from it,
But I do miss elements of it because, you know, a lot of my people my age are more on Facebook than they are on Instagram. So
yeah. Yes. Okay. So you said you guys have completed, you filmed what, three? You said three out of six so far?
Three. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Working on the fourth now.
And the dumb question, but are the first three not out until the rest are filmed?
So my first one got released. The other two I have, and they're up on my YouTube. Okay. Those will be released later. Cool. But the first one, so what happens with that network is that they place them on different places. So that one's on the actual one made the Travel Channel. So you have to kind of make it into like HGTV and I stuff see. Like that too. So, yeah. So that's how that works.
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. So, what else are you working on anything else?
I mean, I've got a podcast as we talked about. Again, my team's name is Nashville Home, but this is called Calling Nashville Home. You can find it on all the platforms. And it's really about relocating to Nashville. So taking people's experiences and how they got there and just kind of letting people know how different experiences of what their journey was to get to Nashville and why they got here and how much they love it and what to do. So there's that. And and just, you know, growing my business and raising my kids, you know, and newly single. So working on that too.
Listen up, ladies. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So are you still you know, like what about the music scene? Are you still kind of tapping into that a little bit?
I do still write. But I kind of, you know, guitar and piano mainly. I do have a drum room here in my house. I'm always goofing around. I'm playing an instrument every single day. I just have fun with it. I don't pursue it. If something fun comes up and I think it could be something that could be listened to, I do have songs that are out. I'll send it to somebody and maybe try and write with them or something. But my band that I talked about is called Stereo Bliss. It looks like Stereobolis. It's one word, one S at the end. So Bliss, not two S's. So Stereobliss. You can look that up. And there's another one called Right Hand Wave that I played drums on and co-wrote as well. Really great stuff there. There's other stuff that I've written that's out there as well. But those are the two fun ones for me.
Nice. Yeah. I always have a great appreciation. I mean, I love music, obviously. I mean, I've never met a person that didn't like music. Isn't that like a weird thing? Do you ever think about that? Right. It's like, it's weird. It's like, I don't think there's anybody that like doesn't like music. And if you don't, I mean, well, I don't know. There must be something wrong with you. But
agree.
Right.
Agree.
But like one thing I've always just been fascinated by is just people who have those musical talents. You know, I've never played an instrument or anything like that in my life. And
It's not too late to start.
Right. It's true.
Late to start, Bill.
I was like, I know. Next time I'm in Nashville, you'll have to give me some drum lessons.
There you go. You got it.
All right.
Deal.
Yeah. But I'm not coordinated like that. I feel like, you know, I'm not saying I can't do it, all right? Because I don't like just saying like I can't do that, right? I've never really been musically inclined. Like I said, I love music, like listening to music. I love lyrics. I do enjoy writing. Like I think I'm a writer sometimes, you know. I just enjoy music, but I just have such a great appreciation for talent, like people that could actually play, you know, like at mm-hmm. the level like somebody like you has, because again, it's not really a talent that I have. I'm sure I could maybe learn mm-hmm. a little bit, but you know, it's never really going to be you know, a thing for me, or at least not to the level like somebody like you has, you know, have played. But like I said, just the coordination that goes into that, man, I wouldn't even know where to begin. So I give you a lot of credit.
There you go. Thanks.
Well, this is great, man. I'm glad we synced up and were able to hop on here today and do this episode.
This is probably the most genuine, honest podcast that I've been on, and I've been on some great ones, and they're all great people.
Yeah.
But this totally went a different way that I wasn't expecting. I love it.
In a good way.
I hope that your listeners have an opportunity to really hopefully they learn something from us, because I think there's some good messaging here. So
yeah.
So well, Bill, you're awesome, dude. You're awesome, genuine guy.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I know. And we literally, you know, just met. Obviously, we've been following each other for some time on Instagram. I think that is where we connected. Mm-hmm. But you know, I say this a lot, you know, on my show, but I just the journey that this podcast has taken me on, and the people I've met, you know, like you again, like I've met so many people along this journey. You know, I'm about 230 episodes into this show, and done a couple two tree episodes.
I guess so.
I just love this, because it's so unique. Like, you know, again, like, you know, looking back a couple of years ago, I never would have thought, like, you know, we never would have crossed paths if I didn't do this podcast, you know, didn't go on this podcast journey. But it's crazy. It's literally physically, literally taking me all over the world. You know, just having these good, you know, genuine, just authentic conversations. I think it's so important. I enjoy it a lot. You know, I feel like sometimes it's a therapy session for, you know, one of us or both of us, and I'm okay with it all. I always joke and tell everybody I'm an unlicensed therapist, and I get paid way less than they do. But man, it's a lot of fun, and you know, just having this human connection with people. I think a lot of it's lost today, you know, in society with all the nonsense going on in the world. And it's nice sometimes just to connect with somebody like you and just have a good conversation, you know, even though we know each other a bit now, and everybody else learned a little bit about you, and maybe some about me they didn't know, but yeah, man, it's fun. The journey's fun. And, I'm glad we connected to do this, and I'm looking forward to checking out some of your shows, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Yeah, and next time if I make a part two, I've been saying, you know, since we left Nashville that first time, we had such a great experience. Like we accomplished so much more than I ever thought we would have when we were down in Nashville. And by the way, also before I just want to say one more thing too, I don't think I ever would have gone to Nashville in my life had it not been for my show. And I don't know why I guess I had like this little bit of this misconception that about Nashville that it was like only country music, and I think I don't know what world I was living in. Nashville, to be honest, to be completely honest, Nashville was never really like on like my list of places like, oh, like I want to go to Nashville. It was never really on my list, but it kind of happens organically. And you know, we did 4 episodes down there, and met some incredible people that I'm still really good friends with today. Like literally met some people for the first time, and I consider them actually like really good friends now.
Awesome.
But my point is that I enjoyed Nashville so much more than I ever thought I would. And I'm saying like I would go back. Like, you know, previous to this, I'd be like, we're gonna go down there, and they'll be like, okay, or whatever. But like, man, like Nashville is cool as hell. The people are awesome, and hopefully I'll try to make a trip down there, and then maybe we could do a part two in person.
You got a new friend.
Yeah.
Man. I'm here.
Yeah.
Well, yep. I can show you some pretty fun stuff.
Well, plus you owe me the drum lessons too. So
you got that too.
Yeah.
You be ready. Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Well, this is great. Like I said, we'll keep in touch, and look forward to, following your journey, man.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Appreciate it.
John Sexton, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Bill.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.